That's right. It is bonus hour. If you ever walk into a movie and you see Jeff Rust walking your way,
just plug
your ears, man.
I'm going to tell you that Han Solo died.
And apparently don't wear pajama pants because that was triggering for him. He's like, you said pajama pants? I knew. I was
by himself.
Gonna ruin it.
He should have woken up earlier. Go get a Red Bull. Dude, that guy's brothers or something. Get in there sooner, dude. If you're that concerned about it.
Like that guy's just sitting there going, my wife just left me. The kids are with her. The only thing that's going to make me happy is a Star Wars. Oh, my God. This guy ruined it.
So he should have gotten up
this morning.
Russ, like, be a better husband.
Be a better, be a better Sutton.
Well, the beautiful thing about sports is you can't really spoil it. You watch a live game, whatever's going to happen, going to happen. And the guys that are not spoiling anything is Coach Speak. Mm. Oh, man. Okay, so.
It's Coach Speak season.
It
unless you're Kurt Cignetti.
Well, yeah, but Kirk Cignetti's trying to make a name for himself, right? He's trying to stand out because nobody knew who he was
going
into
last
that, year, right?
What, last offseason, right, with the Google me bitch.
Dude, is Kirk Cignetti the oldest person to try and make a name for himself?
Maybe. But that's why he has to do. That's why he has to go all in.
He's
right?
64 years old.
Yeah. Well, and he's
oh,
he's
well,
floating around,
I didn't
but
realize
you
that.
But
yeah.
You coach at James Madison, yeah. And then you get the Indiana job. Nobody knows who you are. You have to kick the doors down.
Damn right.
And I think he gets that. That's what he's doing. Because Dabo used to do this, where he would just go and say the dumbest things, and everybody pay attention. Then he won a couple of national championships. You don't hear from him as much.
No,
he's still every once in a while. I mean, he can't completely shake the Dabo being Dabo, but it does not happen nearly as often. People know who he is. He can get good players. He's fine.
What's interesting about Dabo, though, is that he's gone from saying the things that made him endearing and that people like wanted to root for in like the good old boy who's just trying to make good in this big, big college football world to now he just shoves his foot in his mouth and everybody's like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, saying that the day that players get paid is the day I find a new job. Well, NIL comes.
Did
and
not happen.
He just gets silent and then stays long. We're not going to dabble in the transfer portal. We got culture here.
Yep.
Well, and then he realizes I can't win in this world of college football. So he starts dipping into the transfer portal. And it's interesting how people turn on you once you have that success.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know that he's put his foot in his mouth. I think he was just trying to speak it into existence. I really think that he was like, you realize that if NIL becomes a thing, then everybody can pay, not just us. If people start going to the transfer portal, it's going to be a lot harder for me to win, who is really good at getting high school kids. I'm going to have to learn a new skill if these things come up. Dabo doesn't really want to do that. Okay, that's what I think it is.
Don't say things like, is the day they get paid is the day I find a new profession.
Yeah.
Because people don't forget.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing. Nobody's running him out of Clemson because he does keep winning and still making that university plenty of money.
Especially when you make $10 million a year.
Well, sure. But the fans can chirp all they want until the university presidents come over and go, you said, and they have not done that. So
no,
I think he's safe. I always feel like that. Like when people, you know, will chirp on online about something. He's going to pay $10 million to coach football. I don't think he's worried about it.
To be fair with Dabo, you know, you can say he keeps winning.
He was in the college football playoff last year.
2018 was the last title. He won him in 2016 and 2018.
He was in the college football playoff last year.
So he's winning.
But here's the thing. He does win, and it's really damn hard to win a national championship in college football.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, just the list is very short of those guys who have done it over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah.
It, you know, 2018, look, if you were to tell 99% of the college football fan bases that, hey, you would get a national championship in the last 7 years, I think a lot of people would say, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I will take it.
Well, and he won two championships in the Nick Saban era of college football.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Not bad.
Pretty good. So he's got some job security. He was in the college football playoff last year. And like I said, until the university presidents come knocking and going, hey, we're keeping receipts on all those dumb things you say, they don't care.
No doubt about it.
They do not care. Speaking of coach speak, Dan Lanning getting pretty good at just sticking to the script. Did you hear anything of value from his opening remarks or the Q&A?
The Q&A was great because the first question he just answered, yeah. I mean, if, and this is the thing. Like, Lanning is the example of what we're talking about where you got Dabos out there who will give you something, or Kurt Cignetti who will give you something. So I don't blame coaches for not going out and saying too much, is because people will remember it. You know, Dabo said that, you know, 8 or 9 years ago. The day they get paid is the day I find a new job, and we still talk about it now.
Well, and anytime, what's his name at OK,
Mike Gundy.
Mike Gundy. I was going to say Gunther, but I knew that wasn't it. Mike Gundy. Yeah. He's always giving you something fun to talk about.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But last year wasn't a great year for him. No.
Keep that quiet.
And so he did not give much of value. I mean, they gained a lot of weight.
Yeah, like 1,300 with pounds. Numbers. I love that they track that, showing how detail oriented they are. The funny thing is, Dan Lanning is willing to give everybody ammo during the season, during the off season and recruiting. He's not afraid to go out there and, you know, do something ridiculous and do whatever it takes to do that and talk during that. But last year at Michigan, making sure that, are you not entertained, and all of these things, he's happy with those getting out. Does it feel like he's talking more to future players than he is to the media or the rest of the Big Ten?
I think what he does is nothing that he is saying is leading up to the event, right? We learn about the Michigan stuff after the Michigan game is over. We learn about the Colorado stuff. They're playing for clicks and we're playing for wins after they play Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Or actually right before kickoff when that video gets put on. But it's
nothing Colorado's going to see before the game.
Before the game. Yeah. And so everything is kind of after the fact. And, you know, those schools aren't going to forget that. He knows that he wouldn't forget that if, you know, those sorts of things were happening and they were on the other side of it. But it's also, you know, that team and what they did, it's in the rearview mirror. And they're looking forward. And that's kind of how he goes about everything. And that whole looking forward thing, you said they track everything. They absolutely track everything.
Yeah.
I mean, from the way that those guys lift weights to every guy has an iPad that's put up on the lifting racks to where it's down to the pound on what you should be lifting, how many reps you should be doing. We're going to track your diet. We're going to track how much weight you're gaining. They have, you know, all of those guys, we see them, sometimes they look like sports bras, but every player now in like college football has tracking data where it's like a little chip that they put in the back of your jersey. There's guys like scanning the field and getting live updates on, you know, does this guy need a break or a breather because, you know, he's not running at his max speed. Like, the numbers game in the world of college football is crazy on how much they're tracking pounds they're gaining and losing, how fast they are, you know, their explosive rates, all of that stuff in the world of college football. That element of science has become how these programs operate in the offseason.
It feels like you hear more about it in college football. Does all that translate to the pros? Are they doing the same thing at that level?
They are.
And is it more intense or just about the same?
I think it's about the same, maybe even like a little more intense in the NFL. I don't know if you saw like any of the stuff. The Browns put out a couple videos about this. The Giants put out a video about it. But like, you go in and when you get fitted for your cleats now in the NFL, they have you stand on this like a sensory board. And it takes a scan of the bottom of your feet, where you distribute your weight. And then that's how they start narrowing down the types of cleats that you should be wearing. And then they say, all right, you get these. And then they have insoles for them. Like, it's so granular now. I mean, we're not really seeing injuries going down. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure how effective these are.
But it's more about performance than it is injury prevention right now, isn't it?
No doubt about it. It's can you be good when you're there?
Yeah. Oh, you know? Man, absolutely wild.